So you've been wanting to research companies, but you don't necessarily have the time to do it yourself, or you don't know how to do it yourself. In this series of videos, I'm going to be going step by step through my entire process from beginning to end on how I find companies, what I look for when I do my initial research on the companies. If they pass my initial research, how do I value and evaluate them after reading their financial statement? I will go step by step, including valuations when we get to that point, and how to evaluate companies. My name is Jason Rivera, and welcome to Value Investing Journey Case Studies.
Hey, Jason here. In today's episode, we are going to evaluate Semtrex for Polly M, who commented, and I had a good conversation with on YouTube. He requested that I evaluate this stock for him, so that's what we're doing today. Before I get to that, though, I need to let you know you can get this series as a podcast anywhere in the world for free on all major podcasting platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, and more. You can get this as part of the I Love Value Investing podcast series anywhere in the world for free. And make sure to stay tuned to the end, and I'm going to give you a link to get this preliminary analysis checklist over here so you can analyze companies like this as well. So I've been having some great conversations with people on social media and YouTube and other places we post our content lately. One of those conversations was with Polly M on YouTube, and he asked me to evaluate a stock for him, which is what we're doing today. I don't know what this company is. I don't even know what it does. This is as far as I've gotten on this stock. I haven't put anything over here into my preliminary analysis checklist. I just brought up the information, and I'm going to analyze it like I do every stock, because this is how I analyze every stock on a preliminary basis, which and the preliminary analysis checklist that I use, we're going to show you today. We're going to go through this whole thing. And usually when I do this, again, I don't even know what the stock does. So that's how we're treating this stock today. Okay. So today is the 18th, 1920. You see here, these numbers are likely going to be millions or thousands. We'll see over here to check that. All I've got open here is the key ratios tab. Here I open up the full one in another tab, and the financials tab, which I'll get to the quarterly, and then the balance sheet. So these are going to be in millions, yes. Millions, what are they on the millions here as well? Okay, the reason this is so important is because obviously if this is thousands, millions, or billions, it's gonna make a huge difference to the analysis of the company. So make sure you are in the right number, and make sure these on here and these on here are the same numbers, because they aren't always the same. Sometimes they use billions, sometimes they use millions, sometimes they use thousands, depending on the size of the company. So you need to watch that. And sometimes even if they're, let's say, millions over here, they'll sometimes be thousands or billions over here. So you need to be careful about which one you're looking at there. Okay, so this is a tiny stock. Perfect. I love tiny stocks. 8.8 million dollar market cap, zero dividend. Okay. Operating margin 14.5. And I'll explain after I calculate these, and I'll bring you back. I'll calculate these all out, and then I'll explain what all these mean to you as well. I don't want to bore you with that, so I'll bring you right back. All right, I've got everything situated here. So let me show you what I found. So this is where we left off. Pick up here, it's trailing 12-month operating margin is negative 14.5. And it's negative, or it's 5-year operating margin, average operating margin is negative 3.4. The reason I look at operating profits instead of net income is because net income is far easier to manipulate. and it's affected by things like taxes and interest, which fluctuate on a year-to-year basis. I want to know the reason I use operating income is because I want to know what the company produces from its operations, because taxes, interest are highly variable, and it's also easier to manipulate net income because of those reasons. Its share count rose by 600% in this time period. Before I go to this though, nope. So thing that caught my eye up here is this company was massively negatively profitable at the beginning of the decade. Then it got solidly profitable for most of the rest of the decade, then the last 2 years, and including this year, it's massively unprofitable again. That's it. Need to figure out why, if we're going to keep researching this company. Its book value per share rose enormously from negative $1.05 per share in 2010 to positive $1.94 per share in the trailing 12-month period. But again, this huge variability. What happened here to massively increase book value and then massively decrease book value? My guess is that I don't necessarily have a guess here until we look at the financials. If we look at the financials, my guess here is it's that they acquired some businesses and that increased their book value, but then they had to write down that book value, which enormously decreased the book value. That would be my guess based on past experience. Past experience overall, not with this company. Okay, ROIC, scroll down. Hugely negative right now. And in the last 5 years, or in the trailing 12-month period, it's negative 49%, which means for every dollar they make in revenue, they are spending $1.49 to generate that revenue. That's what this means and why it's so important. Essentially, again, it just means that they're losing money for literally every single sale they make, is what that kind of looks at. Its five-year average is also negative, but again, huge variability here. So we would need to figure out what happened going back in time. And again, I don't know what this company does, so I have no idea what it does. But this, usually, even for tiny companies, there's not this much variability. so this immediately caught my eye. Same thing here with the ROE. And by the company having more higher ROE, or in this case, lower ROE, than ROIC, it automatically means that or lets me know that the company has debt. And in this case, it has a decent amount of debt. And again, huge variability here. So we need to figure out what's going on with this company. Cash flow, again, hugely negative. Negative 14.5%. And overall, in the last 5 years, it's negative 0.5%. So on all these metrics, this one, I look for 10% on a consistent basis. Where's ROIC? This one, I look for 10% on a consistent, or 10% or higher on a consistent basis. And on this one, I look for 5% or higher on a consistent basis. So what this shows me up to this point is that Cemtrex is not earning enough profits from its operations, which is why it's increased, or which is why it's had to dilute shareholders to raise cash to stay in business, and which also shows you why they have a decent amount of debt, because they've likely had to do both. Well, they've definitely had to issue shares to stay in business, and they've also likely had to take on more debt to stay in business as well, because they're not profitable. They're not profitable from their operations. The reason I look for 10% or higher and 5% or higher is because after evaluating thousands of companies over the years, I estimate that far fewer than 5% of all companies worldwide meet these thresholds. So if something does meet those thresholds, it automatically makes it a great potential investment, and at the very least, a great operational business that produces enough profits and cash flows. Okay, cash conversion cycle. One of my favorite metrics that, again, pretty much nobody talks about. This, I was kind of a little bit, not, I knew this wasn't going to be a company that I want to look at further up to here, But this really solidified things and showed me why they're so unprofitable. So it went from negative 9 days to positive 159 days in the trailing 12-month period. In the last decade, this rose by 18, almost 1900% according to the calculator I used online. Excuse me, taking a drink of water. So why did that happen? So these are the individual metrics right here. Days sales outstanding, days inventory outstanding, and the days payable outstanding, or these are DSO, DIO, and typically DPO. I don't know why it's payables period here. But what this has done over time is it's fallen drastically, which means they have to pay their bills faster, almost two times faster than they did a decade ago. Why? This could mean that they had issues paying bills before, and their pretty much suppliers or whoever they're paying these bills to said, you need to pay faster or we're not going to work with you. That's one option. And that is usually kind of what happens. Usually people, if you're doing good, will let you extend your payables period, which can typically be a good thing because it keeps more cash in the business. But if you have to shorten your payables period, either something's changed in the business model or your suppliers or whoever you're paying are saying you need to pay faster or we're not going to work with you. It's usually one of those two things. Okay, days inventory. This has risen substantially in the last decade. What does this mean? This means that they're selling their inventory faster or slower, sorry, by about, what is that, 2.5 times-ish off the top of my head. So that means their inventory is staying around longer and that they're having a harder time selling it, which could mean that they've had to write some of the inventory down, which is what I talked about in the book value. That might have been book value or their inventory that they had to write down, which lowered their book value. It could mean that they would have to lower the prices on the inventory to sell it faster, which leads to lower margins, which could lead to unprofitability, or which could show why they're unprofitable. And those are the two main things. So let's get to the last one to kind of finish up here. Day sales outstanding. So this is about the same as a decade ago. So this is how fast they're selling things, how fast they're actually selling their inventory. This has stayed about the same. So with this staying about the same, but this rising enormously, either their market changed and the market that they're serving changed and they no longer are selling a viable product. You see that often in retail, where fashions change constantly and you see stuff go on discount, and that again leads to lower sales, lower margins, lower cash flows for those kind of companies. That could happen here. That leads me to wanting to know what this company sells. So we're going to go over here. That is engaged in the development of markets such as Internet of Things, augmented and virtual reality, and artificial intelligence and computer vision in a wide range. So let's see if they change their business model recently. Let's see if there's a history of the company. There is not. So we would have to go back and figure out and see why there's been so much variability in this company over the years. My guess is, oh, here's a brief history. And that stops. So it looks like it's changed business models. They're talking about just electronics down here. Up here, they're talking about augmented reality sensors. So my guess is, again, and because this company is not good, Not one I would want to invest in. I'm not going to figure out why, or I'm not going to go into their financials to figure out why, but that would be my guess, is it looks like they might have switched industries. Anything else we want to look at on here? Okay, I'm not seeing anything else, but the reason this is important combined with the cash conversion cycle is because likely what they've been doing in the recent years, another reason why they're why their cash conversion cycle may have risen so much, is because they're likely spending a lot of time on R&D if they did switch industries, which leads to less time actually selling stuff. And you can kind of get a glance at that here if we look at their financials. These did not come up like I wanted them to. So we want the, no, this time we want the annual. Normally I look at the quarterly, this time I want to look at the annual because I want to see if they had to write anything down. So the inventories have, they rose drastically and then they dropped again. Trade receivables rose drastically and then dropped again. Okay. So machinery. So they, looks like they lost, or they impaired. So they depreciated and impaired an enormous amount of value in the last 1, 2, 3, 4 years, which is why their book values dropped so much. And again, that goes back to possibly the inventory issues we talked about earlier. I don't see any impairments on goodwill. Here. Liabilities went way up. Okay, and here you can see their equity. This is their book value. So it went up enormously and then it went down. Mainly due to the reason I said above. The depreciation and impairment of, looks like, what is this? What was it again? Of property, plant, and equipment. And that could be any number of things. I didn't see much about inventory levels. Let's see. Okay, so the inventory levels rose a lot. And they fell again while orders dropped. So it looks like they're either choosing to not sell as much stuff, or more likely they're having a hard time selling their stuff that they're creating. So that's what's happening. So I went a little bit more in depth there than I usually do on these preliminary analysis videos. Normally I just kind of stick to this, but I'm not even going to calculate. I can't calculate these, which is why I stopped here. Because both operating profit and free cash flow are negative. So you can't calculate these. I mean, you can, but you get a negative number, which is kind of pointless. So that's why I stopped here, and that's why I went a little bit more in depth on the actual cash conversion cycle and what it shows and the book value and the inventories and all that that I just showed you, which I hope was helpful. Again, normally I would do this stuff and the basic valuation, but I can't, or I won't, because it would just come out as a negative number. So I'm going to stop here. PolyM, interesting stock here. But as of this writing, or as of this recording, frankly, there's no way I would invest in this company right now. especially without not knowing what they do in the future or what they're building towards. But frankly, I don't invest in companies for what they're building towards or what they say they're going to do. I invest in companies on what their metrics say now, today, as of this writing. I treat anything positive that the company's working towards or building towards as icing on the cake. If it's bad, then I take a look at it and it can be a red flag and it might disqualify a company. But anything good, I treat as icing on the cake and kind of an extra bonus, not anything I consider my analysis. So as of this recording, with everything I just saw about Cemtrex, there's no way I would invest in this stock right now. So again, I hope this helps. I'd love to hear your feedback on this, Polly, especially since you're the one who requested this. Anybody else, if you want me to invest, or if you want me to research a stock, let me know. The only things I will not research are financials, natural resource companies, oil, natural gas, gold, miners, pharmaceuticals, new tech like Twitter and stuff like that, Facebook. But other than that, if it's kind of a quote unquote normal company, I will be able to research it for you. And I hope that I'd love to do more of these kind of things for viewers to help you not only learn how to do this process, but also hopefully show you why it's so valuable, because it allowed me to evaluate this entire stock in 21 minutes now in a very deep level, and allowed me to figure out that I wouldn't want to research this company. And also remember at the beginning, I said that I was going to give you some information to get this resource and some of our other resources for free. You can get that link below. You can get this and four other free gifts. You can get 5 gifts total for free just for signing up to our mailing list. And one of the things you'll get is my preliminary analysis checklist right here that you're seeing, including the doc that I show you step by step how to do this with pictures. You'll get that for free so you can become a better value investor faster and evaluate stocks faster. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like, love, share, subscribe, comment, hit the notification bell, because we're releasing new videos all the time and that'll notify you anytime we release a new video. If you're listening on the podcast, like, love, share, subscribe, comment. And we really appreciate a review as well, because the more reviews, views, and listens we get on our content, the more people we can help. And thanks for watching as always. And until next time, talk to you again soon.